paper I'm going to take you through. Okay, got my eye on the clock. We'll just see how we get on. But sincere thanks for coming this evening. I really do mean that. Thank you for your personal support for myself as vicar and other members of the staff team that I have a go at looking after. And I'm very grateful to those of you that often say, well, Mark, you've got this ability to spot people and encourage them and lead them on and so forth. And the discovery of people's gifts is, I reflect with you, really, really important. But I put it to you that if someone has a gift of the Spirit and it's obvious what that gift is, and we encourage them to use it, as they're using that gift, it is not right for us to assume, just because they've got this gift, that they've got all the other gifts. You might have some of those. And if you don't contribute, if you don't let your light shine before others, then the embarrassment of someone who hasn't got all the gifts, and no one's got all the gifts, is more to be seen. I don't think there's a critical spirit, or they're not getting that right or they're right, in the church at all. I think there's a lovely spirit of encouragement. But it is just to say that you can't expect everyone to do all things right all the time. And actually, if you're thinking that, maybe you need to offer your gifts so that we can all work together. It really isn't a performance, it's a participation from everyone. So to the annual theme, you are my witnesses that I am God. There's a wonderful passage in Isaiah 43 that the staff with me spent a good day reflecting on and praying over. And it was born in on me that this phrase, witness, is that I am God. We witness, not that we're good people, although that's part of it, but we witness to the fact that God is there. So I'm wanting you to discover your own unique contribution. There's no one on the earth that's like you, no one that's had your particular history of life, however glowing, however painful, however you feel about yourself, sunny side up or not. There is no one like you, and there will never be ever again. And the glory of God's creation is he wants something of how he is in you to be shown to others, and there'll be people that you can witness to that no one else will do. And unless that flow happens, unless that witness happens through you, that there's a God and you know him in a particular way that no one else does, someone else will be the poorer for it. And I want us to discover our vast field of influence, and I'm going to be giving you a little visual aid towards the end of the evening. If I could have the first picture, Jeremy. That of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are very small. They're used in the scriptures. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted, and it will do. And the next slide, please. Vast fields grow from something very, very small. Simon Burton Jones, the Archdeacon of Rochester, led our deanery retreat at Worth Abbey. And he referred to a social scientist that's rich in this whole area of networking and said that apparently one person's life, if it changes, and that change is seen, will influence how many other people. The number is a staggering 8,000. You can buy the book and look at the research, but it's apparently, so social theorists tell us, 20 other people will be at least observing you as to how things go on. But those other 20 people will be connected with a large number of people as well. So a single blip or a single change in you will have a ripple effect to at least 8,000 other people. Of course, we never know until we die what the contribution of our life would be. And perhaps it's just as well. But it's a shame if we keep our witness to God, what he's done, just to ourselves. Let your light shine. Turning over the page. It's faith in Christ, it's faith in our risen Lord, and it's particularly flowing, it's particularly vibrant and active when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Notice the link there, that when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. I've been put in remembrance during this Easter season of the wonderful Easter greeting, Hallelujah, Christ is risen, he is risen indeed, Hallelujah. And that sense of indeed, if you're chatting with someone and they say, well, yes, indeed. Or we could have got that right. Oh, yes, indeed, we should have got that right. Indeed, we should have. There's a point of connection. There's a point of synergy. There's an amplification. The whole thing seems to go. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. And I think we need to proclaim that over the world. What's happening in France? What's happening in America? What could happen in Condoa? What's going to happen after the general election? Somehow Christians need to proclaim this public truth that Christ rose again in the public square. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. It needs to happen in Tunbridge. It needs to happen to every group that comes here. Otherwise, they will witness to a performance area and brighter lights, and it sounds good, and the walls are clean. So how do they know that Jesus Christ rose again for them? How does that happen? This proclamation about Jesus' resurrection needs to be proclaimed over them. Maybe we need to say it to ourselves. He's risen for me. What does that mean? Well, you're my witnesses that I'm God. So to look forward to, back onto the sheet. Thank you, we've listened to you, or we're trying to. It makes you sound like clients, and we're the firm, as it were, but we put on discipleship in the real world. Some 130, 140 people involve themselves in it. And many of you have said you'd like us to put that on again. We won't in such an extensive way, but I'm grateful to those who put on their seminar streams that they're happy to rerun them if you'd like them to do so. There is a real genius in this initiative, that it's discipleship in the real world. It's not what's happening in the church, but it's where you're finding you need to be a witness. You'll need to get a grip. You'll need to get the date in a diary. You'll need to come along. You'll need to have your hearts open to be involved. There are some curiosities happened as I oversaw this work. Those involved in the Time and Priorities seminar found they didn't have enough time to go along. Do you get it? We're here to help you. We're here to help you. Be a disciple in the real world. Well, you at least need to get the radar blip to see how the risen Christ can be alive with you, with your time and priorities. And the art gallery trip. I mean, wasn't that wonderful? Who was on that trip to me with London? It was actually really good fun. Really good fun. Great. And thinking about it, it's just so important. The risen Christ in our world of leisure. How important is it to be confident about sharing our testimony? How Christ was with you is totally unique. Getting that story out to others is so important. We'll be giving you details as to how you can do that. Christ is alive, but how can you mention him in an everyday conversation? I did say I'd be potentially making you nervous. Maybe that's the story of the Christian life, when you sense ease and you're open to God, he'll say, well, here's something else now for you to be praying about and getting nervous about. How do you mention Christ in everyday conversations? What if someone says to you, I would like to know Christ like you know Christ? What would you say to them? How would you enable them to become a Christian? Would you know what to do? Some of us are a little bit bolder and brasher, and I will say to someone, it seems to me I need to ask you a question. What question is that? Well, would you like to become a Christian? That's a good way in, and they can say either, yes, I need to know what to do, or no, cotton woolet, you're polite and courteous. I'm not asking you to ask that question that some of us will. But what if someone says to you, can you give a reason for the hope that's within you? What would you say? Now, this is not the vicar deliberately making you nervous. This is the biblical expectation for all Christian people. Always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you, for the risen Christ within you. Still not got to the main point of my talk, and I'm going to happily now run round a number of things that are happening during this year, and it's on page 3 of your sheets. There could have been a lot more. There are outreach events happily already in place in each of the churches. Peter and Paul have got something to do with health and looking after yourself. Coming up soon, there's a St. Saviour's Tea Party with the Bishop in July. There's a musical event at St. Andrew's. I've clean forgotten the date, but I think it's June 17th of June. And St. Philip's has got an amazing 80s night musical being planned. The idea is not that we all spin around each of the different churches and all give ourselves 4 diary commitments. The idea is that in those geographical localities with those networks, other people who don't normally come are invited along. Of course, we help rent a crowd with friends from across the parish. The main point is it's for other people. And having spoken at too many of these, you might, if you so choose, before you put the choreography of the evening together from beginning to end, to at least just have a chat to make sure we know it's really going to work. I won't say any more. Welcoming congregations. It's so important that our congregations are welcoming. My particular burden and struggle is this parish church where I see so many people come, don't see them for 3-4 weeks, and then how do we connect with them? We need to be perhaps more hospitable, inviting them round for coffee and lunch and tea and visiting and so on. The staff have had a very good idea with me, and it was their idea, not mine, but I'm supporting them in it, of mapping exactly where your influence is. So where do you live? Where do you work? What is the geographical map of how Christians in this parish are spread? It might show us where some of the gaps are, particularly in the new housing areas. It might actually say we've got links further afield than we realise. We will have a map put together and tour around the churches to see how we're getting on. I could speak a lot longer on this, but I'm personally delighted that Justin Welby, our Archbishop, has signified evangelism as a priority for some of the things that he's doing. And he's got a national initiative on Ascension Day. Sorry about the typo, it's the 25th of May. 1 is next to 2 on the keyboard. It's very easily done. Absolution comes free and quickly, not a problem. It's Ascension Day. Don't let it happen again. No. Churches are encouraged to be praying for particular opportunities to witness, and on that day we're going to be hosting many prayer events in the parish church at St. Saviour's and St. Philip's, a chance to join together in prayer with churches around the country. I want to speak personally to all the leaders and ask how they're going to take responsibility for encouraging the groups that they lead to be witnessing for Christ. Not just to put on your event and to keep your program going, but to mention Jesus. What's special about him? Will we invite people to know him? Will we be a witness to what God has done in Christ? The Sunday Fun Day, we're closing all the churches in our parish to be a united witness in Tunbridge. And I'm excited about the plans that are ahead. A little bit of a detour, if I may. We've given some thought to what will happen if you can't get there. We will keep the buildings open for a short time, but by and large we will close our churches and encourage a united act of witness with all the other Christians in Tunbridge. You shouldn't need encouragement about Holiday Club. It's been growing and developing over the years. But I note with interest, each year there are new people helping on the team. And that's a good way to help people feel involved. Who can remember the week of guided prayer called Closer? Show of hands. Yeah, I mean, all of you will be really keen that this is happening again. Those of you that have not got your hands up, well, put your hands up again. Those of you that were there, just have a note. Those of you that aren't, haven't got your hands up, as to who got their hands raised, and have a chat with them about what it, how special it was. I'm really not having a problem about this one. People will sign up for this. It's so good. But I bring the date to your attention there. Is Margaret here this evening? Thank you very much for all your organisation for that. Parish Day away, our plan is not to go to Worth Abbey this year, but we'll need help finding another venue and to put some activities on for children to encourage young families to attend as well. The theme will be helping us to be witnesses for Christ. I'm glad the Experience Christmas programme is going again. Not sure how many volunteers we had for the Easter experience, a large number. We're very grateful to you. But how do we make the link between just inviting so many children into the church and then perhaps indicating to them that Jesus can be for them? While I've got your attention, before I get to the main thing I want to talk about, let me just say these few things. Delighted Wendy Carr's joining us as our new parish curate. Be sad to say farewell to Simon and Anna and the boys, but life moves on and we're going to miss you and wish you well. And coaches are booked already to travel to Beckenham. But do please give Wendy your support. I'm conscious that during my time as vicar, this will be the first lady ordained colleague we've had on the staff here. Question, does our youth and children's work need expanding in terms of our staffing? In my view, Andy's doing a really good job. How can that work be encouraged with more volunteers from ourselves or perhaps from other staff members? Young people tend to go to churches where there is lively, vigorous music. I think that's just an obvious statement. Do we need to review how our musical practice happens here? It's not a performance area, but there's plenty more room for musicians. You saw what could be done in the name of Joseph. How could that be expanded into regular Sunday worship? What about appointing a musical director or a part-time musical director or someone to help out with young people's work and music and so on? I personally have a vision for seeing someone employed on a part-time basis as a counsellor. I know it's difficult and I often support people to seek professional counselling through the Vicar's discretionary fund, but at 40-50 time for half hour, an hour conversation, that's a lot for most people to support. If we were to employ someone who could confidentially see people as a counsellor on a part-time basis, that might well be helpful. I just put it to you. What if our work was to expand so that we needed to move more chairs, open up more facilities in our building, particularly here and at St Saviour's? The admin team, who are often pushed at getting more volunteers to move things around, would really value a caretaker. This is not so that we can do what we do now in a more easier way, but so that we can expand what we do. These are just my ideas. If you want to support them, there'll be financial implications to them and a degree of organisation as well, but I couldn't not resist mentioning these to you as they're very much on my mind. Over the page, let's get to the main thing. This is where I make you nervous. It's your personal witness to the risen Lord Jesus that matters most. Where you are. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah for you. I was struck as I was reading the resurrection accounts in preparation for Easter this year that each time the Lord came to his disciples or an angel said to the disciples, the Lord's not here, he's risen, or the Lord said, I'm here, I'm risen, the very next thing that was said was go and tell. It's almost as if, and I have some difficulty with the word evangelism, because certain people just tune out. They feel it's just for pushy people. It's not. It's part of a process. Once you know Christ is risen, you will naturally tell. That's the mandate of the Bible story. Jesus Christ rose again, and then immediately the disciples were telling others, he's alive. Resurrection and evangelism are almost the same terms if you read the resurrection accounts closely. There is no criticism in this, it's just my observation and my quirky way of doing life and humour. But I noticed the main parish notice board, the one outside, has got no notices on it. And that's fine, because it gives me an absolutely brilliant illustration. What were the notice boards on the first Easter Sunday in the church? What was going on? Well, nothing. But what God said should be on the notice board is, Jesus is alive, go and tell. What else is there to say? The real difficulty, and this is a bit of a carp, I understand that. The real difficulty is we have so much going on, we sometimes forget to point people to the fact that, hallelujah, Jesus is alive. This is not a performance area. This is a holy place of worship, and Jesus can change my life. He matters to me. Yeah, I'm a good person, but I'm God's person. And I'm the witness that God raised Jesus to life forevermore. So as Jesus rose again from the dead, and there's this language about going and telling, he also says in the Matthew account, I'm going on ahead of you to Galilee. I'm going on ahead of you. And it's almost not just a geographical issue, well, I need to get to that place to say something to you. It's almost a sermon in its own right. When you go and tell people about Jesus, Jesus has gone on ahead of you to where you are, as you are, and how you are. He's there with you as you say the name of Jesus to them. Why go on ahead of you to Galilee? Where did the Great Commission happen? In Galilee. Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be with you always to the end of the age. That's God's plan. It's you and I. We're the only ones that will tell others that Christ is alive. And the problem is we're going to have to go. We're going to have to make the choice to mention Jesus or not. We're going to have to think to ourselves now, what is this day going to bring? Is this day going to bring an opportunity to witness for Christ? What's Mark asking us? Well, what does Acts chapter 1 verse 8 say? You will be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. There's a wee bit of a chicken and egg situation here, because if you wait around for a kind of tingly moment or for the Holy Spirit to empower you before you go, chances are not a lot is going to happen. But if you do as the Lord says, well, go. He's going on ahead of you. Go and make disciples and God will be with you. As you do attempt to name Jesus to others, point people to his risen life, suddenly you will find that he's with you and the power comes. That's why you get nervous with this stuff. It's not natural. It's not normal. What's the solution? Well, you're going to be given a little seed, a little packet of mustard seeds as you leave this evening. You can have fun. I don't suggest you actually open the packet because they could go everywhere. But there's a prize for the person that can tell me how many are in each packet. But it's interesting, there's more than enough for one for each day of the year. So my thought is this: each day there's a mustard seed. Each day you can pray, Lord, an opportunity to witness for you. Lord, an opportunity to mention your name to someone. An opportunity just in that conversation to mention Christ, to testify to his risen power. It's seriously scary stuff. Each day, well, there's a mustard seed for each day. Your vast field of influence. Small change in you, 8,000 other people could be influenced. How did the notice board of the New Testament day get so crowded? Nothing had happened, except Jesus rose and he said, go and tell people. The rest is history. Except history's complicated things rather a lot. And the Christian church is impoverished, not of tingly feelings, but of power. Because we don't go. We don't name Christ to others. And that's when the power comes. So ask him each day for an opportunity to be a witness to Christ. I could soften it and say, well, so that you can pray for someone, so that you can be nice to someone, so that you could be more aware of someone. Fine. But you might actually think about naming him. I didn't realise, but actually if you sneeze, what does someone say to you? Bless you. It's highly superstitious, but it came from medieval tradition where actually there was probably something unhealthy coming out and you're almost looking to bless someone in the name of Christ. It's almost, nowadays in common parlance, it's, well, bless you. It's too limp. It's too weak. It's reactive. It's not intentional enough. Go and testify that Jesus Christ is alive. And when you think about it, if this is too hard a challenge each day to pray for an opportunity to witness for Christ, let me ask you straight, and I ask myself this. Well, as a new day begins, what is the purpose of that day? What are you looking to accomplish from it? One of the pastoral team confided in me in a happy way. It wasn't a tough problem. It was actually a joyous piece of confiding, except it's not a confidence anymore, is it? Because I'm talking about it, but there you go. They'd noticed of the elderly people they visit that those that are alive and active and alert and learning and engaged and showing an interest in other people actually feel happier and more prayerful. Those that are kind of sort of slightly withdrawn and carping and sad and just slightly kind of knocked off don't feel so healthy and engaged. The choice is whether actually, even at whatever age, whether you're going to go for it or just give into it. Jesus says, go. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Resurrection means you have to say. You have to engage, you have to go. So as a new day starts, what are the options? We go for him and witness to him. Or you actually get out of bed and you live for yourself. And you maybe ask for Jesus for a little bit of help if you need things. And you try and plan ahead for Sunday if you can. It's actually profoundly about a whole philosophy of life. Who else would you be living for if you're not living for him? I suppose I am preaching now. But that's the ask. There's enough mustard seeds to get you really annoyed if they fall on your floor, because you'll never be able to pick them all up again. So leave them in the packet, put them somewhere, and think to yourself, Jesus says I should be witnessing for him. Pray for an opportunity to mention his name. Remember that he's with you. I'm going to conclude with a poem that was read at my father's funeral. Dad made the cross in the church in Greyfriars Reading, where I was baptised, confirmed, sent for ordination, and then saw Dad off as well. And the vicar left, or the person who led the service, left a copy of this at the back of church. I'd never heard this before, and I thought, it's really good. Dad was a carpenter. That's why he read it. And I think it fits for now. Because you've got the cross there, but the cross is in church. What God wants is a risen life outside church, where we go. O Christ, the master carpenter, high on a cross you died, a wooden cross with iron nails, a spear thrust in your side. O Christ, upon that Friday cross your work on earth was done, yet truly in my life today your work has just begun. O Christ, take up your workman's tools and shape my life anew, that I, who now appear rough-hewn, may be restored by you. O Christ, the master carpenter, let beauty gently shine within the workshop of my life. The praise be yours, not mine. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Go tell.